It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Sound Kitchen Flashback, a special program meant to keep your appetite up while the Sound Kitchen takes a little break. Today, you'll hear a program which originally aired on Paris Live PM, our afternoon broadcast, in November 2016. Dame Felicity Lott has been singing in the world's most prestigious opera houses with the most prestigious orchestras and pianists and conductors for, may I say it, Dame Felicity?
A long time.
She's still going strong, and recently she's added another plume to her hat and has taken up writing. Her book, Il nous faut de l'amour, or We Must Have Love, comes out on Monday the 14th, and she wrote it with French cultural journalist Olivier Bellamy, and you can find it at the Boucher-Chastel editing house. Why this title, Dame Felicity? Why We Must Have Love?
Well, I think we must. I think we all need to feel appreciated, probably. But actually, the title, it was Olivier's idea. And I mean, he wrote it. He did most of the writing. He's French. It's in French. But he thought it was a good title. And it's from an operetta that I sang in Paris quite a lot, La Belle Hélène by Offenbach, which was such fun to do. And her first aria is Il nous faut de l'amour when she's in this crazy production. I was in bed at the beginning, dreaming I was the most beautiful woman in the world and longing for love. And my husband, who was Michel Sénéchal, who was about 80 at the time, and a fabulous singer and wonderful character, he was in bed by my side, fast asleep, snoring. And I woke up longing for a bit of love in my life.
One of your first loves was the French language. In fact, initially you thought you might become an English-French interpreter, but something happened when you were a young student in France that changed your mind and your life.
Yes, I did a French degree, and as part of the degree I went to spend a year in France, and I chose to go a nice long way away from England. I went to near Grenoble in the mountains to a place called Voiron. In brief, I went to the conservatoire in Grenoble to try and find a singing teacher because I'd always sung and I thought I might fill up some of my spare hours with singing lessons there. And I found this lovely lady who was an excellent teacher and a divine woman who adopted me into her family and welcomed me and said, you know, if you tried a bit harder and did a bit of work, maybe you could be a singer. And although I'd always sung and I sang solos at school, it just didn't ever seem to be a possibility as a career, you know. I didn't look right, didn't fit into my idea of what a singer would be.
You said something in your book that it was listening to Ravel's Scheherazade. It was kind of the moment where you thought, maybe.
Well, this singing teacher sent me to a summer school in Nice and I met quite a lot of other young would-be singers, and amongst them was a fantastic singer from Rabat in Morocco, and she was singing Aziz from Scheherazade, and I'd never heard music like this. I didn't know French music, and it was so exotic and voluptuous and seductive, and she did it so well. I was completely knocked out by this, so that was quite a moment. And then I went off and found a recording of it by Régine Crespin, who became my great idol as a singer.
I think it only fair that the listeners hear a little bit of you singing Aziz from Ravel's Scheherazade.
Thank you.
do you love about singing, Dame Felicity?
Well, pretty much everything except the stress and the terror and the worry and the will the voice work or not? I mean, if your voice is kind of up and running and you're feeling well, it's not so good if you don't feel well, because the problem for a singer, of course, is that the voice is part of oneself. Whereas if you're a violinist who doesn't feel very well, at least you don't have to play on yourself. You've got something else outside. You can run your bow along, and a pianist has to play a piano, but he might not like the piano. But for a singer, you carry it all inside and you're affected by air conditioning or colds or whatever. So sometimes it's not that great. But ideally, it's wonderful. You have to stand up straight. It's good for posture. It's good for breathing. It's good for, I don't know, all those feel-good things that I can't ever remember the name of that that make one feel pleased with life. And it's something I miss tremendously if I don't sing. If I have, I don't know, some time off at home, which is I sometimes do, and I find all kinds of other things to do, important things like the laundry and a bit of cleaning and sorting out and whatnot. And then, I don't know, my whole body seems to sort of collapse. and I feel, you know, I just need the music to run through me. It's a very physical thing to be a singer, to have these waves of sound going through one. Is it sort of endomorphs or things like that? What are the things that are supposed to give you feel good? Anyway, I miss that if I don't do it. So that's what I love about singing. And I love, well, all the different kinds of music, so many different kinds. I like a lot of kinds of music. I love the people. I love my colleagues. To work with a pianist is great. I sometimes work with a harpist. That's different and great fun. With young musicians, with young singers that sort of want to still want to work with me. It's lovely.
Okay, here's the favorite child question. Out of all your roles, all of these ladies, which ones brought you the most satisfaction artistically?
That's quite a difficult question, because I think one is always so involved in whatever it is at the time. But the most, I suppose I'd have to say, the Marshalin in Rosenkavalier, which is, she's a wonderful lady, the Marshalin. She has wonderful music to sing, wonderful words to say, all about time and about growing older. It's very moving what she sings. So that's one of Richard Strauss's wonderful operas. Another one that actually probably brought me maybe equal fun was Intermezzo, which is a much less popular work, but a wonderful acting part. She's on the stage all the time, shouting, talking, changing costumes. And for somebody who likes the theatrical side of opera, it was a fantastic part to do. Terrifying, but fantastic.
Dame Felicity Lott, you wrote that after all of these grand and distinguished ladies that you sing on stage, you found you really enjoyed being naughty. You even made a recording called Fallen Women and Virtuous Wives. And here's Dame Felicity Lott singing a naughty fallen woman song. Will you introduce it for us?
we had such fun doing these concerts and making this recording. This is What's a Lady Like Me Doing in a Joint Like This?
What's a lady like me doing in a joint like this?
Of course, Felicity Lott is not referring to this lovely RFI studio when she's talking about that old joint. That was What's a Lady Like Me Doing in a Joint Like This, written by Murray Grand, with Graham Johnson at the piano. The singer was today's guest on Paris Live PM, English opera soprano Dame Felicity Lott.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you very much indeed.
And listeners, remember, you can get Dame Felicity Lott's book, co-written with Olivier Bellamy from Which radio station is he on?
Radio Classique.
Radio Classique, exactly. A French radio person, yay! Il nous faut de l'amour. It's published by Bouchette Chastel. Thanks again, Dame Felicity.
Thank you.
This is ridiculous. The Empress Pompey sent De Niro as he was fiddling around. I asked you to get hot, but burn the whole place down. You must understand, I'm an extraordinary miss. What's an empress like me doing on a hot seat like this? Confronted with things that appall, turned to their lovers with dignity and said, take me away from it all. As Cleopatra said, when her asp began to hiss, what's an Egyptian like me doing with a big asp like this?
I hope you enjoyed this Sound Kitchen flashback and that you'll be with me next week for the return of the quiz. You'll hear the answer to the question about the treaty signed between France and Germany in January. Talk to you then. I'm Susan Owensby. Have a great week.